Hello and welcome to another Rock Climber Life podcast. I am your host, Jeff Safford, and today I have another trip report for you. This past weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, we went to the Red River Gorge, and we had a pretty hot weather. But we had a great trip overall, and I guess the title of this one is Climbing in the Amazon, or Memorial Day at the Amazon, something like that. So anyway, but when we have 3-day weekends, when we have a day off work like Memorial Day, or like the past 3-day weekend we had was Easter, we had Good Friday off, we usually go to the Red, because it's about 6.5-7 hours from Pittsburgh, so that's kind of a haul for a weekend trip. So we reserve that to 3-day weekends. We go out to the Red. So we kind of did our usual Saturday morning thing. We've gotten into a habit of that. Instead of going Friday night, especially for the Red, driving really late at night, you know, you don't even get there. I mean, if we leave Pittsburgh at, you know, let's say 5, you know, or even 4, like right after work, if we go straight to hit the road straight away, you know, we're not getting there until around midnight, and that's really late after, you know, a day of work and, you know, getting up early and all that. So, you know, it's almost like the past few times we had done that, it was almost, like, slightly dangerous because, you know, you're sort of tired and sleep and half asleep, but driving, and, you know, you're driving late at night on these back roads in Kentucky, and, you know, the deer could jump out or whatever. So we just, you know, do it Saturday morning. That's what we did on Easter, and that worked out well. And usually at the Red, you know, 3 days is all I can handle anyhow. And usually the last day I'm smoked, and I can't really climb all that well anyhow. So we did the Saturday morning drive and got to the Red at about 2:30. We went straight to the zoo because not only is the drive easy, it's pretty much right in the main gorge, but the hike is also pretty quick. It's only about 10 minutes. It's straight up a hill, really steep hill, but it's a quick hike. It's not a long drive like PMRP. It's not a long hike like Muir. So we went to the zoo. And I had some other thing. I had some climbs I wanted to get on over there. The focus of my trip was to work my weakness, and I think I've mentioned this several times over. My weakness is definitely steep routes and managing the pump and my technique on steep routes and everything associated with steep routes. So lately, I've been trying to get on the steepest stuff I can at the New and the Red. The Red, it's not hard to do. You know, most of the stuff you can. Every crag you find, you can find steep routes. The New, you have to kind of, you know, pick and choose a little bit more. But anyway, we went straight to the zoo and warmed up on a climb called Jailbird. And Jailbird is a 10D. And there was a group next to us that said that they had just done it. And there was only one really thin section about second to third, or I guess it was third to fourth bolt. It was a really thin section. You just had to pull on just some small little crimps. And the rest of it was pretty easy. So we figured, you know, it's pretty characteristic of the Red for some reason. I don't know what it is about people who set routes or who grade the routes at the Red, but it seems like all the slabs are ridiculously easy, like 2 grades easy, I think. And then all of the overhanging routes, all of the steeper routes, are pretty much seems right in the money. I don't know, maybe that means that I'm really swung one way or the other, like I'm really bad at steep and really good at slab. I don't know what it is, but it seems like all of the more or less vertical climbs or slab climbs, especially the slabs, they seem so easy over there compared to the New, where the New seems much more realistic in their grading. Anyway, so we warmed up on Jailbird, and it's kind of just, you know, one move wonder, pretty thin around the third and fourth bolt, but after that you have just this tiny little roof to pull. I guess that's, you know, I guess you could call it the second crux, but really no big deal. My height definitely helped on this one to reach, because when you were pulling onto the small crimps, you had to kind of get some high feet because you kind of went over this tiny little lip or this tiny roof, and there weren't feet below, so you had to kind of get your feet up on the main part of the wall, and Galen actually had to back down on this one because it was tough. She couldn't reach the hold and get her feet up at the same time, where I was able to just reach the holds and just get my feet up because I had my hands high enough. So the height definitely helped on this one. You know, no problem on sighting this route, which was nice. You know, nice way to start. And that was a nice way to start the trip. Good warm up. Yeah, jailbird. So, you know, we were originally going to get on Put Me in the Zoo, which is like a 9+, or Chimp, which is 10B. But to be honest, you know, this route wasn't really that much harder going at 10D. And so if you're looking for a warm up at the zoo, I recommend it. After that, we went over and I wanted to get on one or the other steep routes. One is Geezer's Go Sport, which goes at 11B. And the other one is right next to it. It's called Monkey in the Middle. It goes 11A. I looked at Geezer's Go Sport and I'd read that it's almost separated into three climbs because there's a rest after the first, I guess it's about 25 feet. It's like two, three bolts. There's a sit-down rest, big ledge. And then after another 20, 30 feet, there's another good rest. So I was hoping that I would be able to recover. Even though it was one grade harder than Monkey in the Middle, I was thinking I might be able to recover and maybe able to pull the on-site on it. At least I was hoping. Didn't happen. I was really close, though. Went up and made it through the first steep bit without too much of an issue. And you have a run out. I think it was second or third bolt, and then it's a run out up to it slabs out a little bit though, and it's a run out up to the sit down rest, and then above that slightly is the next bolt. So I went up there and clipped the bolt above the sit down rest and took a rest, shook out, you know, contemplated the climb and so forth, the meaning of life. You know, the guidebook says stuff like that sometimes, which cracks me up. Contemplate the meaning of life and then, you know, think some more and then continue on your way. So anyway, so then I start up the next bit, which proved to be the steepest bit, kind of the second third of the route. And I screwed up the beta a little bit. I would, instead of moving towards the right continually, I would climb up and then see the hold to the right, so I would do this horizontal traverse to the right instead of just continuing to climb up and right at the same time, if you know what I mean. So there was a little bit of like down climbing and things associated with it that I probably pumped myself out more on the second third than I should have if I would have just gone up and right diagonally, you know, continuously. So you get to the second major rest, and it was much more minor. I was hoping it would be good, but you just kind of lean into the rock, and you can get like two mediocre hand jams and try and shake out, but the hand jams are kind of at waist height. So I wasn't crazy about it. I probably should have adjusted myself, which I'm not very good at, to try to adjust myself to get a better position. I'm not real good at resting at kind of mediocre rest spots. I should probably try and fiddle around and try and adjust myself and get in a better position. But what I wasn't expecting is the top bit. The top bit eases up on the vertical nature, but it's totally in your face, and it's mostly small crimps, slope, and some sloping crimps. And in the heat of the day when we were there, you know, it was probably 4 o'clock when I started climbing this route, or something like that, 4:30. It was really warm, and man, I was sweating bullets, and I had some issues, and I fell at about the second to last bolt. So that was my only fall. So I wasn't disappointed by any means. I was hoping it would go, but you know, that's okay. It's the first day, and I'm not good at the steep stuff, so that's why you work your weakness. So I was happy with one fall in that route, but yeah, the top bit. If you get on Geezer's Go Sport, be prepared for the top bit, because it's not at all like the second third of the route, which is overhanging and steep. It's pretty much vertical, but very crimpy and much more technical. So I wasn't expecting it. Kind of threw me for a loop there. Once I came down, it was about 5 o'clock, and I was, you know, it was warm, and you know, I wanted to save some gas in the tank for the next couple days. Usually when I go to the red, day three is complete wash, and I'm not really able to climb very well. So I figured, you know, hey, I was gonna probably take, if I was gonna try the route again or another route, I was probably gonna take at least a half an hour rest, and I didn't really feel like sitting around, and we didn't really feel like sitting around, so we decided to head back to the camp and set up camp a little bit earlier than expected, and make dinner and relax and have a couple cold beers. And where we camp is called Land of the Arches. So if you're used to going to the Red, or if you've never been to the Red before, I'm sure you've heard of Miguel's Pizza. And Miguel's is pretty much the most, I would say. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about Western campgrounds, but at least on the eastern half of the U.S., I would say it's probably the most famous climber campground is Miguel's. And we actually don't stay at Miguel's. We stay at a place called Land of the Arches. We actually like our sleep. Nothing wrong with a party. I like partying, but when we go to the Red, we're looking to climb hard. And just like when we go to the New, you know, we never stayed at Rogers, which was kind of the party campground. And, you know, I've heard crazy stuff going on at Miguel's, like people, you know, staking their tents off your stakes because it's so crowded. Like, you know, the tents are right up next to each other, and all you hear all night is people snoring and all these tents, and that would drive me nuts. Galen is actually a very light sleeper. It would drive her even more nuts. And neither of us sleep all that well on the ground anyhow, so we stay Land of the Arches. Really like the place. We really like it also because they keep improving it. Every time we go, there's something new, or some small improvement that they made, or, you know, new picnic tables, new area that they, you know, refinished on the inside. It's kind of, the inside is like this huge airplane hangar, and there's, you know, pretty much everything you need. I mean, there's a refrigerator you can use, there's a little bouldering wall, there's couches and chairs. There used to be a TV. I don't know what happened to the TV, which was actually kind of fun when it rained. You know, you could just go in there and watch a movie or whatever. There's a whole back area. There's a bathroom back there, full-blown bathroom. Back area, you can just lay down your pad and sleep in the back if you want, which we've done before when it's raining. It's fantastic. We just go in there if it's, we're expecting rain and just don't even worry about the tent at all. And then, what else? So on the side of the hangar, the big structure, there's all the fields, and you can just, you know, plop your tent down anywhere, and they've added a lot of picnic tables, so you're not really scrounging for picnic tables. There's fire rings everywhere. There's a large shelter area where you can cook if you want. It has a sink. They have water back there. There's two toilets on the outside and two other full-blown bathrooms, sink, toilet, and shower. So, I mean, you're looking at a campground that has five toilets and three showers. I mean, that's really, really nice. I mean, it's really set up, and they don't have the crowds that Miguel's does. So I probably shouldn't have said any of this because now it may not be, you know, as much of a secret. But, you know, I doubt that because I don't think there's too many of you out there listening. If there is, that's great. But I highly doubt that there's, you know, that many people listening to this. Anywho. So we stay at Land of the Arches, and actually, so another thing is we were planning to meet a new climbing friend. His name's Michael, and he's from Cincinnati, and, it's nice because he's only about 2 hours from the Red, so that's like his home crag. And he came down with a couple friends, and we ran into him, actually, he was at Lady Slipper on Saturday, and, we actually ran into him on the hike down since we hiked out a little bit early, and he was going up to do a couple routes. So we had planned to meet with him at Muir on Sunday. So Sunday we woke up and did the usual, you know, eggs and toast and French press coffee and all that, and the full breakfast that we usually do when we camp. You know, we don't like to rough it. We definitely take the full two burner Coleman stove and the French press and all that sort of stuff. So we don't really like to rough it, to say the least. So we went to Muir, and we were hoping that we got there really early. For, you know, climber standards, we were in the parking lot by 8 a.m., and I was hoping to just even get a spot, because I figured that most people would be there early because of the heat. Well, we were like the third car there. It was great. So I think, to be honest, I think a lot of the better climbers, the guys who are going to the Red to climb upper 11s, 12s, and harder, they definitely weren't there because I looked at some of the harder routes and they were completely empty. But then all the easier routes, the, you know, 6 through 10, they were all just ransacked. I mean, totally overrun by people the whole weekend. So I think a lot of the beginner climbers, when I first started climbing, I thought, you know, hey, summer was climbing season. You know, little do you know, when you finally start climbing a little bit more, that summer is horrible for climbing, especially on the East Coast, the New and the Red, because it's so hot. And spring is good and fall is the best. And, you know, sometimes you can stretch it into winter, depending on the snow. Anyway, so it was definitely, I would say, predominantly more beginner climbers at the Red this weekend because of the heat and humidity. It was about early, low 90s. All 3 days we were there. So pretty warm and very humid, and you know, typical Kentucky humidity and a fair share of bugs, although not too terrible with the bugs. So Sunday we went to Muir, and we warmed up at a small little crag called Animal Crackers. Animal Crackers is mostly just some slab climbs, but there's one that we wanted to check out because it was on the way to the bibliotheque. It's called Sam. It's 10B, and it's a slab climb as well. The entire little, it's just a very small wall, called Animal Crackers, and Sam's a 10B, like I said. And actually, this is the first time I can say that a slab climb at the Red was every bit of 10B. This one was actually kind of tough. I fought for it, actually, to be honest. Definitely fought for it, especially the top part. Really kept me on my toes. It was really blank up there, and you just had to kind of balance. I did some crazy, like, hand-foot match mantle type of deal, and then reached up to a mono. I mean, you know, something you don't really kind of expect for 10B, but it was a good route. So if you're on your way to Bibliotheque and you're looking for a warm-up, check out Sam. I mean, it definitely threw me off a little bit. It was good. Galen didn't have any trouble with it. She's much better at slab climbs, and her smaller fingers definitely help with the small crimps, and the mono, I guess it was like a half pad mono for me, which turned out to be like a full pad, two finger pocket for her. So I was kind of griping about that, you know, as I was griping about the heat, you know, at 8:30 in the morning, once we hiked down into Muir Valley, which felt like the Amazon because it was so humid down that valley. So that was the Animal Crackers wall. So we kept hiking. A little bit further on past that is Bibliotheque. And Bibliotheque is characterized by a lot of overhanging 511s. And that was what my focus was for the trip, and definitely the day, was to work steep 511s and see what kind of progress I could make. And I started with a climb called 100 Years of Solitude. And this route goes at at 11A, and it's the rightmost line on the wall, and it's not as similar as the other routes. It's a little bit more vertical and kicks back on the second half, where the other routes are pretty much a consistent steepness the whole way from the ground to the top. This one started with a bit of a boulder problem through the first couple bolts, kind of some thin crimps, and luckily, I was able to make it past there without too much of an issue. And you have a series of jugs as you move up, and kind of in between those, you have some smaller holds, pockets, crimps, and so forth. But there's definitely, you know, a share of jugs to shake out on. But at the top bit, there's your last jug before you're pretty much at the chains. And at this point, you know, the climb is kicked back, and it's about 55 feet. And I was definitely fully pumped at this point. I went up and I couldn't find any good holds. There was just some crimps. So I kind of backed off, tried to shake off, but I was really struggling to get any sort of recovery and shake out the pump. So I gave it my all and kind of gave it a lunge to a couple of small holds and pitched off right at the anchors. And there were some other people at the crag that had been on the climb before, and they said, oh, that's where we fell the first time too. And it was funny because I watched other people climb it throughout the day, and almost every single person I saw climb it, which was probably like, I don't know, probably six people throughout the day, they all fell at the chains, which was really funny. So you pretty much, you know, move off this last jug, and you have a couple small crimpers that you have to move off of, but at that point you're a little, you know, little gassed. And then you make it up to a clipping jug, which left a little something to be desired. You can't really match and shake out on it. You just kind of grab with the right hand and clip the chains quick. So 100 Years of Solitude, I didn't get back on it as the day went on. I would have liked to, but I just didn't get the chance. You know, it was either somebody was climbing it, or, you know, I was resting after another climb. But I'll definitely want to get on that again after, you know, one fall effort. I was pretty pleased with that. After that, I got on a climb called, what was it called? It's called No Country for Old Men, and this was 11B, and this one was really hard. I mean, it felt really hard for 11B. It started out with a pretty tough boulder problem. You moved up, and you had kind of a jug to shake out on, and then it kind of kicked back to the steepest part of the route for just a just a bolt or two, but it was definitely a boulder problem. Small crimps, smaller pockets, definitely not jugs. And I had to take there, and I kind of worked this route bolt to bolt. It was frustrating for sure, and I think it was probably in the heat of the day. Probably is, I don't know, maybe 11 a.m. at that point, something like that. But I was definitely, you know, sweating like crazy, and No Country for Old Men 11B, it really put me through the ringer. It was tough, and it moved to the right slightly and then back to the left towards the anchors. Good route, I'll get back on it, but it was hard to see which holds were good and which were not. It was very characteristic of the red, in which there are, on some of the overhanging faces, there's pockets everywhere. And then some of them are terrible and some of them are good. And you just kind of hope to follow the chalk line and follow, you know, a couple tick marks here and there. And those are usually the better pockets. But this one was really hard. After that, our friend Michael showed up with his other friends. I think they were actually over at Animal Crackers, and he was climbing with them because a couple of his friends, they were newer climbers. They were looking for 6, 7, 8, 9, something in that grade. But he came over and worked on a portrait of the artist as a young man, which was 11B. And this one felt much, much easier than No Country for Old Men. I definitely wasn't even close to the send because, you know, again, steep routes aren't my thing. But I made it about halfway. And then at the halfway point, pretty much went bolt for bolt. So probably the last three, I think it was about the last three bolts. Something like that. Last three bolts, it was a 70-foot route, as was the previous one. But pretty much all the routes on the main wall of Bibliotech are 70 feet and 7 bolts. And they're pretty much all 11B, 11C. But this one was much easier. Kind of started, you trended up left, and then pretty much straight up from there. And some good holds, definitely some jugs to shake out on, some smaller stuff too. But definitely felt a lot easier. I don't know, maybe I got used to the climbs, the steeper routes. You know, that first one just threw me off, but this one felt a lot easier, and I think next time I get it, or next time we go to Bibliotech, I think I'll be able to get it, you know, maybe the first or second try. And Michael jumped on, and he only had a couple falls, couple takes, so he did much better than I did. I had, I guess, I don't know, three or four. But he's used to climb at the red, and he's much better at the steeper climbs. I noticed that he climbs the steeper routes how I should be climbing them, and I'm trying to climb them, but I noticed he turns his body a lot, which is what you're supposed to do on steep routes, and he climbs sideways pretty much the entire time, you know, keeping your arms straight and just using your core to move your arms upwards as you twist. And this is how you're supposed to climb the steep stuff. And I try to do that, and it usually works for about the first half until I get pumped and kind of panicky and, you know, oh, you know, trying to make it to the next hold, and then I kind of lose my technique. But I think that's kind of typical. You know, you get a little pumped, and then you start to lose your technique a little bit. The last climb we did, it was pretty hot, and actually Michael had invited us to his uncle's house, his uncle lived over towards the northern region, towards Military, Left Flank, Fantasia Wall, some of those places. So the last climb we got on was The Short Happy Life of Francis Maycomber, if I'm pronouncing that right. It's 10B. Some of the other climbers, Galen wanted to get on this one, and a couple of his friends wanted to get on this one, so we jumped on that one. I actually struggled with it. I got the on-site, but it was actually a struggle. First half was tough, and then the second half was real easy. But I fought with it, and was able to hang on. It was stiff for 10B, I think. I think everybody said they thought it was stiff for 10B, and I had seen other people warm up on it, and they thought it was stiff. So, but a good route, and we'll definitely be back at the Bibliotech. Really, really cool crag. And also, here's a tip for going to Muir. There are streams and water access everywhere. So we actually just took our Camelback and a couple Nalgenes and a water filter. So instead of taking tons of water for a hot summer day like we had, which was, you know, about 92 or 91, something like that. We just took the water filter and just filled up throughout the day. And this turned out great, you know, because you have the long hike down and a long hike uphill all the way back up out of Muir Valley. Because you hike down in the valley, you climb, and then you hike out. So definitely take your water filter. That's definitely, I think that worked out really well. We do that at the New in some areas like Somersville Lake. You can just filter right out of the lake. But we just filtered right out of some of the streams and waterfalls and little pools that were over near Bibliotech. And there's streams running all through Muir. So definitely, take your filter to Muir and you can filter water pretty much anywhere. So that was pretty much all of our Sunday. And Sunday night, it came through. We went to Michael's uncle's house and enjoyed a great night. We were grilling out, grilled some burgers and brats and swam in his pool. And we had a really great night. It was, Uncle Brian really showed us some, I guess, Southern hospitality. And, if you consider Kentucky the South, I guess Kentucky is considered pretty much the South, more or less. But he really treated us to a nice time, and we had a great time and camped in his front yard, and he made us feel at home. So that was really nice of Uncle Brian, and we had a great night, just chilling out and drinking some PBRs and sitting, which is the kind of the climber beer of choice, I guess, and just relaxing and kind of chatting with our new climbing partners, Michael and his friends Seth and Kai. So we had a really, really fun night. So hopefully that'll happen again in the near future. We, like I said, for those 3-day weekends, we go to the Red. So hopefully we'll be able to meet him again there. He said he's going to come to the New. So hopefully that'll pan out this summer as well. So since we were camping in the northern region up by Military and Left Flank, we decided to go to Left Flank on Monday. And again, get up pretty early and try to get there early, and so we could get a parking spot, because the parking lot for Military and Left Flank, for how big and popular those crags are, the parking lot's very small. So we were hoping, to get there early. We got there about 8:30, 8:45. Didn't have any trouble getting a spot, but again, I think it was due to the heat. I think if it was a normal day, I think we probably might have not got a spot. But either way, we hiked up, and oddly enough, probably the most popular route of Left Flank was open, which is to defy the laws of tradition. It's a 10A. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of the most picturesque routes, partly due to the fact that you can get pictures of it, because you can kind of hike up the hill a little bit to the right and get great shots as the climber starts out on the first half and moves to the second half. Beautiful orange rock, a pocketed face. On the second half, the bottom half is quite technical, and I always struggle with it. This is only my second time on it. I was able to get it clean again this time. And then just kind of a white chalk streak moving down through the wall. So, I mean, just beautiful route. Really nice stuff. I have a couple pictures of that that I'll include in the notes on the blog. So the first half is hard for me. It was hard for everybody, I think. It's technical, and you have to move off a couple side pulls, and this one you get kind of a side pull and undercling, get your feet up and make a real long stretch to the next good crimp or edge, I guess it is. And if you're not tall like me, you kind of have to tech it out and get your feet, in different positions. I was able to just stand up, but I definitely flailed a little bit. I was able to get through the first half, and then you have a nice, pretty much no hands rest. And then after that, you get on the second half starts out vertical on some smaller holds, and then it kicks back just slightly, and the holds get bigger as you move upwards. So the pump clock, definitely starts ticking in your ear a little bit, especially for a warm up. But it wasn't too bad. You're able to shake out on some of those, classic Red River Gorge iron rails and great rock. Great setting, just the quintessential warm-up, and it's really good. Definitely get on to defy the laws of tradition if you're over at Left Flank. You can't miss it. It's on the far left side. It's the first route on the far left side. So when you hike up, you hike in at about between route number 6 and 7, If it's one on the left side going all the way and the numbers increase to the right. So you just kind of hike around this outcropping where there's some easier routes and some beginner routes, and then it's all the way on the far left. You can't miss it. So anyway, after that, me and Michael decided we wanted to get on Aqueduct Pocket. And I knew that this route was characterized by pretty much a boulder problem in the first couple bolts, and then it eased up. And in Aqueduct Pocket goes 11B. I was hoping to get it, and I did. So that was great. That was the only 11 I got of the trip, and it's a boulder problem down low. It's pretty steep. It has a couple good jugs as you pull off the ground, and then you can either, pretty much right next to the first bolt, you can either use a kind of a sloping crimper, which I tried to use twice and I fell. Amazingly, Michael was able to use this. I don't even know how he pulled off this thing, because as soon as I put a good bit of weight on it, I just slipped right off. But he was able to pull through it and grab the next big pocketed jug. I used two one-finger pockets, which were right next to each other. So it wasn't a two-finger pocket, but it's two one-finger pockets, if you know what I mean. So your fingers are kind of split open a little bit. So it's like two monos right next to each other. It was right above that sloping crimp. So, and those were friendly and pretty deep. So I shoved my, index and middle finger deep into those and pulled down hard and was able to, twist my body around properly, like I should be climbing the steep routes, right? And grab the next jug pocket, clip the second bolt out to the left, and moved across and up, and then pretty much at the third bolt, you're past the overhanging section, and it moves to just maybe pretty much dead vertical or just slightly overhanging, but probably just dead vertical, and it's just pretty much big plates, and you're able to shake out pretty much at every move you can shake out, but for me, I was just trying to manage the pump and, not blow it up high because I didn't want to have to redo the bottom section. But I guess it was the third go, you can consider that. So it was a third go red point. Definitely happy about that one. Michael got the flash, pretty much his first. I went first and hung the draws and then got the send. And he went second. And his first time, just stepping off and getting on the route, he got it. So that was great. We did well at Aqueduct Pocket. We climbed it well, and we were happy. So check it out. If you're looking for one that is maybe, if you have some strong fingers, but you don't have a lot of endurance, that's one that you can definitely tick off, because I think I kind of fall into that category. I probably am stronger than I am, having endurance. I don't have very good endurance for the continuous steep routes. But if you throw like a quick boulder problem at me, I can usually get through it, either through finger strength or height or kind of a combination of the two. Check that one out if it's over left flank, and it's definitely a great route. After that, me and Galen only wanted to kind of put in a half day since we had a 7-hour drive home. And so we took a look at Maypop. And Maypop is pretty much right where you walk up the trail. It's the number 7 route in the guidebook, so it's pretty much, it's number 6 route in the guidebook, so it's pretty much as soon as you walk up, it's right in front of your face. It was 11A, and this one, kind of brought me back to the New River Gorge, because it was very technical down low, and somewhat sustained up high, not steep, more or less dead vertical, kind of slabbed out as you climbed higher, felt pretty stiff for 11A, kind of one of the old school ratings, Felt a little bit old school 11A, and it was a tough one. The boulder problem down low was tough, and there was definitely some a sequence you had to go through and some technique. You had to utilize undercling, side pulls, a couple crimpers, and then you move up right to this flake crack that's kind of sloping, and you kind of lay back a couple moves, and then you move up through a couple more crimps. I kind of bailed out left because I saw that there was a jug out left. I don't know if you can consider that off route because it was chalked up. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can consider whatever you want to be off route, but I kind of went out left a little bit and climbed up and then came back in and clipped the third bolt. On Michael's Burn, he went straight up the thin crack, which is probably what most people do because there was more chalk on some of these small crimps. But I tried to pull on them, and I just kept greasing off. I couldn't get any friction going with the heat. So I went out left and then clipped the third bolt and tried to climb up high, but I was too far to the left, actually, after the third bolt. I should have moved back a little bit more right or straight up from the bolt. And I was just slightly left, pretty much like, you know, one body width over. So if I should have had my left hand on the handhold, I had my right hand on it, and my left hand was, you know, to the left. So I went up and slapped at something with my left hand, and there was nothing there. So I blew off and took a big whip. Michael caught me, and he figured out how dense I actually am. So I took him for a good ride, and we almost met, and, you know, and I had three bolts clipped. So it was a good thing I had three bolts clipped, because, you know, it took a pretty good ride, but it was no big deal. So then I got back on and jugged up and was able to finish the route from there. Definitely eased up towards the top. Warning on Maypop. At the top, there's only one bolt. So if you're looking to get on Maypop and set up a top rope, which we actually were originally, if you're going to get on Maypop and set up a top rope, I don't recommend it because there's two bolts up there, but only one of them has a hanger with a chain. The other one is just this exposed bolt. So totally safe. You know, I looked at it, and it's real sturdy, and it looks solid. But apparently this is an ongoing condition of Maypop. So that one you can't top rope. At least I wouldn't recommend top roping off one bolt. If you do, you know, go for it, but I certainly wouldn't. Anyway, so, you know, I lowered off, and Michael gave it a burn. He had some problems with the lower boulder problem, but he climbed the second half much smoother than I did. But yeah, it was a really nice trip. You know, we definitely had to fight the heat a little bit, but overall I think we did pretty good. And I would say this is probably the first trip to the red that I actually climbed well on day three. So maybe it was kind of the camaraderie of, you know, climb with, you know, other people and just enjoying and pushing each other. And, you know, the whole time we couldn't stop talking. We're talking about training and talking about roots, and, you know, he's talking about the red and I'm talking about the new, and, you know, we're planning trips for the summer and he's going to come out to the new. So I think it's going to be a good summer, you know, even though it'll probably be hot, you know, we'll make the best of it and try to find some pools or some lakes to swim in. But yeah, it was a great trip, great Memorial Day. So yeah, just had to stay cool, drink lots of water, stay hydrated. So I think that's about it. And with that, this has been Jif Safford with another Rock Climber Life podcast. Be sure to check out the blog, rockclimberlife.com, for more. Thanks for listening.